Okay, we are set. Well, welcome to the March 2016 SIO Story Lab. And this is Mark Steinman, and we are here together. And it is my pleasure to introduce Karen Dietz. And I've known Karen for actually a number of years in a number of different fashions. I am so excited because I've wanted Karen to speak with our group for quite some time, and she's been on my radar. So I am grateful, Karen, to you for agreeing to spend some time with us today. Just a little bit about Karen, if you don't know, is, you know, she really is a storyteller for business. She's been doing this for quite some time. She's had not only a lot of experience, but she's worked with everything from entrepreneurs and nonprofits, large and small corporations across the globe, so to speak, companies like Princess Cruises, Disney, and I'm sure she'll share some experiences with others. She published a book called, it's one of those books. What are they called again? Oh, yes, the Dummies books, the series, Business Storytelling for Dummies. And if you haven't read it, and I have, and I know Trish and some of the others on the call have, it is a great reference tool. I share it with a number of executives who are really trying to get into leveraging story as a way to build their influence and leadership skills, and they have found it to be very useful. But one of my very favorite things about what Karen brings to the table as well is her website called JustStoryIt.com. And I love getting the posts and catching up and reading what she's sharing with the storytelling community, because it's very relevant, very timely, and most importantly, it's very educational and very applicable. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Karen to the Story Lab. And Karen, again, thank you very much for taking the time to meet with us.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure, Mark, and I'm so thrilled to be here. It's like old home week, so thank you for this opportunity. And, you know, I like to make these times like this, when we've got people on the call, kind of conversational. So I know we don't have hands we can raise if you want to interrupt or ask a question, but what I'll try to do is I'll ask questions or I'll pause, and if somebody wants to chime in or ask a question, you know, feel free to do that, and we'll just kind of figure it out as we go along. So one of the things Mark was mentioning was the Just Story It, Business Storytelling Curation. And I don't know how many of you know of this resource, but it's a free resource, and it's something that I've been doing for, God, almost 4 years now. It started as a lark, you know. I was like, oh, gosh, there's so much being written about business storytelling, and so much of it was, well, questionable. And so I was really worried, you know, about quality in the field and making sure people got really, you know, good information when they needed it. So I just kind of stuck my toe in the water and decided, well, let me try curating, you know, going around the web and finding the best articles I can and then posting it to this platform called ScoopIt. And lo and behold, it's turned out to be a wild success, far beyond what I ever expected.
Wow.
You can log on. You can go to my website, and there's a page that says Story Curation, and it has the link right to it. And you can subscribe to the list and get email, you know, whenever I post something. Now, something gets posted almost every single day. And some of the things that are on the front page that we've curated this week is like conflict, 10 types of narrative conflict you can use in your storytelling. It's like I never even thought about, God, are there really that many, 10 different types of conflict, you know, or struggle, trouble, problems that, you know, you can craft a story around? And sure enough, there are. So, okay, well, that sounds like a good one. There's another one on virtual reality, and narrative and storytelling and virtual reality is really kind of booming now. It's like the latest, greatest thing. But this article is all about empathy, and does virtual reality really create empathy or not? And there's some problems going on around empathy and storytelling that happens in virtual reality. So it's a kind of an interesting article. Good to get your head wrapped around. And so anyway, those are just some of the things I don't want to go on. But the database, the curation is all searchable, and there's a little funnel icon in the upper right-hand corner, and you can just type in search words or choose some of the tags that we have in the curation, and you can search for whatever you need. And I've had universities and other groups, you know, just kind of regularly use the curation as a resource tool. So have at it. I hope you use it and that it proves useful to you. So that's just that. Now, maybe there's some hot buttons that you want to know about. And so I'm happy to hear some things that you would like to chat about. And if people are just kind of hanging out today and want to know, you know, some of the issues that I've thought about raising, I'm happy to do that. But does anybody, I'll just ask right now, does anybody have anything in particular that they want to know about, pick my brain about, or have a burning issue that they, you know, need some help with?
Hi, Karen. This is Tricia speaking.
Sure.
I'm thinking that one of the things that's on my mind is working with business groups and helping them see two things, where they can find stories, which I can pretty much, you know, help them with, but the application. So helping people see, like, the where, the how you can actually use a story once you have one. So that's just something on my mind, so I'll just toss that into the mix.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's a good one.
And I have, Karen, this is Tom, and I just want to toss one out there, too, just something I'm wondering for you who's so in touch with all this. Is, like, storytelling peaked? Is it, like, people it's just so everywhere that people are starting to get tired of it, and they're looking for, like, beyond storytelling? So that's just, I'm just wondering if you're seeing anything like that, like it's oversaturated.
Great question. Oh, yeah, we can definitely talk about that. I have some things to share, and I also have some things to share about the application piece, too, and why that comes up as an issue. So good questions, both of those. Anybody else have anything that they want to put into the ring?
Yeah, Karen, hey, this is Mark. So I'd be interested in, of course, we always love to hear stories, so I'd love to hear a couple stories from you as well, you know, maybe ones that you find are effective based on some of the things we're throwing into the pot here. But, you know, one of the things I also know about you is you're actively engaged around the, you know, leadership sciences, neuroleadership sciences, and I wonder how you in business tie more of the scientific or grounded application to executives of story versus, you know, a lot of times you talk to an exec or a team and they're like, oh, story, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be like an icebreaker. And how do you take story beyond, you know, being an icebreaker?
Story is an icebreaker. I love it. Okay. I'm always amazed what people think about stories. Storytelling, but yeah, I get it. So I'm making a note here. Okay, let's tackle these three things because they're all kind of interrelated, mm-hmm. and they kind of connect with one of the things that I wanted to talk about today too. So it looks like we're all on the same page. And then if anything else crops up, if we have time, we can also deal with that. But these are good meaty topics here. So. I was hired last November to speak to a group of sales managers. And I was hired by not the company, you know, the big pharmaceutical company. I wasn't hired directly by them. I was hired by a consultant who works with them regularly and who was orchestrating and putting on their annual retreat. Right? So that was an interesting situation right then and there. But that's okay. You know, you roll with the punches. And now what I was told is that this group wanted some storytelling experience, right? They wanted a workshop, half-day workshop on storytelling. And I was also told that they had already received and taken a half-day workshop on storytelling. So now they were looking for kind of like the next step, right? Some more advanced business storytelling stuff going on. And then there were a couple other things that got lobbed into the request. One was, oh, storytelling and change, because they're going through a reorganization and kind of everybody's upset. So, all right. So just those two things alone, advanced storytelling skills and then storytelling and change, how to deal with change and what's the connection to storytelling and how do you use stories for, you know, seeing yourself through change and seeing others through change. Now, what's interesting is that I'm kind of going on my end, okay, whoopee, right? Somebody who actually wants to talk about storytelling and change, which is sort of like a little bit more advanced work in the area of business storytelling. But they'd already taken a business storytelling workshop and they wanted more. So I go, hey, I can work with this. And so I get to the venue. I've got like about 15 people in the room. And we start. And one of the first things I ask them is, hey, so tell me about this storytelling workshop that you all took. And you know, I wanted to find out kind of where their knowledge was, where their heads were at around storytelling. And I looked around the room, and all I was getting was like blank stares.
Oh, no.
And somebody said, what storytelling workshop? And I go, oh, well, I was told you had taken a storytelling workshop, and you know, it had been really great, and you wanted some more. He says, well, that was years ago. So I go, okay, so you're telling me you can't really, you know, say much about storytelling and your experience of storytelling. And they said, yeah, that's about right. And so all of a sudden I'm faced with, all right, before we talk about storytelling and change, we have to go back to the fundamentals. And so it completely derailed, you know, my workshop. But given that experience, given what they were telling me, right, what do you think the real issue was? Any guesses, any thoughts? What do you think was really going on there?
A lack of communication between the person who brought you in and the group that you were brought in for.
Well, that is certainly true. That's very definitely something that was happening. What else was going on there?
I'm thinking that they were thinking, oh, it's, you know, story is story. So we did something a few years ago, we're good to go. And maybe not realizing how there are so many different slices of how we slice this and how we tell it to what audience and what the need is. So I think they kind of lumped it all together. That's my
thought. Right. Yeah, for sure.
And my thought, this is Renee, my thought would be that they, just the whole concept of storytelling. They had something else in their mind in terms of what storytelling is, and possibly they had been exposed somehow in that organization to storytelling, but just didn't recognize it as storytelling because of their own preconceptions of what it is or what it can do.
This is Cora. And it sounds like to me that they're there because they were told to be there, and they never really brought this up. They never brought this up before that this is about storytelling. They never said, we've never done that before. And probably they were a little nervous about the change thing. I mean, that's what probably was really going on there. It's like, okay, we have to do this.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Another side to the story is that they had other speakers going on who were speaking just directly to change, right? And so I had fewer people in the storytelling workshop than what had been predicted. And so, you know, that you have to kind of go with the flow with all of that too. But all of your feedback was absolutely right. And I think one of the biggest issues underlying that whole experience was that for me, you know, my view of it is that this organization had no clue about a storytelling strategy. And so what I mean by that is that you kind of alluded to it or spoke directly to it, is that, first of all, they didn't really understand what storytelling is all about and what it could do for the organization. And they were thinking of, oh, let's have a storytelling workshop, right? And not thinking about, God, how can we use story strategically? And what kind of a plan do we need to put in place so that when we have a workshop, we're actually understanding why we're learning about storytelling, but also how we are going to use it. And they also had no clue about what results they wanted to get from storytelling. So does that make sense to you all?
So isn't that really common? I mean, isn't that isn't that still a really common reaction? I mean, do you find corporations who really know, I'm going to use storytelling, I know exactly how I'm going to use it, and I just want you to come in and tell us because we know all about the positive parts and the strategy. And, I mean, are there organizations out there that really have bought into the storytelling strategic ways of doing things?
Well, here's what I think happens is that they don't know because no one's told them. And certainly,
that's what I mean. Isn't that common? I mean, isn't that a common thing that you walk into?
Right. And you know, my lesson here was, well, don't ever walk into that kind of a situation again. I mean, and what I've stopped doing is selling one-off storytelling workshops. And so now if I get a request for a storytelling workshop, I'm starting to ask different kinds of questions. Instead of saying, okay, what do you want the storytelling workshop to be about, and you know, what do you want to cover, and what kinds of problems are you wanting this to solve, right? I'm instead asking questions like, well, if you have a storytelling workshop, what's your strategy around that? If you want a storytelling workshop, what's the point that you want to make in the organization? How's it connected with anything else that you're doing? And so I think my job right now is to help my clients think a lot better about storytelling and storytelling workshops. And for the past few years, I've been really disenchanted with requests for storytelling workshops coming in from organizations because they're looking at it at a sort of a transactional level, right? Mm. Here, tell us how to tell a story so that we can sell a product. And there's nothing wrong with that. it's the first place, you know, an organization tends to go. But we all know here, all of us here on this call, we all know that that's just the tip of the iceberg of storytelling, and not really what storytelling is all about. Right? Storytelling is about connection and relationship. And I think that we as practitioners might need to step up to the plate a little bit better and help our clients a little bit more. So what do you guys think about that?
I think that really makes sense. This is Mark. I think that really makes sense in that you're not, you know, moving from the transactional to the strategic use of story, I think is really important aha piece of our conversation that you're bringing to the table, in that a lot of times I think storytellers are just so happy to get their next gig that they forget to ask, what's the related strategic outcome? You know, how are you going to use this? What's your anticipated need? How do you perceive using this after I leave? Those kinds of things.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Mark. And, you know, from this experience that I had in November, obviously the workshop did not go well. And that bothers me for a few reasons. First of all, it bothers me that, whoa, I don't like doing work that doesn't go well, right? No one likes to do that. and there I was, right, having that experience, and I did not like it. But the other thing that really bothered me is that, oh, this company now has had another experience of storytelling, right? And it's sort of like a so what experience. And that, you know, when Tom says, asks the question, has storytelling peaked? I'm going, well, I don't know if storytelling has peaked, because certainly it's the new black. But maybe there are issues starting to crop up around the disenchantment of storytelling. Huh. And what I'm doing more and more is when I talk with clients and they initially contact me about doing work with them, I say, okay, so let me share with you why storytelling workshops fail. And what I mean by failing is that, oh, everybody has a good time in the workshop. Woohoo, right? End on a high note. Everybody feels like they've gotten some good things. They're walking out the door. Yeah, that was great. And then, you know, after that nothing happens and the effects wear off and, you know, time goes past and you go, they say, well, what storytelling workshop did we have? And so I start asking the question, right, and talking about why storytelling workshops fail. And so we've mentioned strategy. Not having a strategy, not thinking about a storytelling strategy, not discussing storytelling strategy as a part of the conversation as practitioners that we need to have with our clients, and so other than having that kind of a conversation with our clients, why else do you think storytelling workshops fail? Or why aren't you continually being brought back to the same organization for more storytelling workshops that go deeper, richer, more applications, you know, things of that sort? So I've asked a couple questions in there. Pick one that kind of strikes you.
Hi, Karen. This is Tricia, and I'm thinking of a couple of clients I've worked with, and I think that they as you said, they like the idea and that we connect it to the organization, and it's kind of like one and done, you know, and mm-hmm. without, I'm usually saying to them, if they don't want to use me, that's fine, but like they could maybe do story groups or, you know, lunch and learns or, you know, practice stories. So I really try to emphasize that to keep it alive, you know, otherwise it's just sort of like what people used to do with the MBTI, you know, maybe
right.
not years ago, but, you know, everybody had mm-hmm. the time we knew our letters, but, you know, what do we really do with it later on? Because
mm-hmm.
it was a fleeting experience. So I think there might be, I think there's more acceptance to people coming in and saying, I would like to have something on storytelling, but maybe not as much awareness as that this is not something that you do in a, you know, in a, just a couple of minutes. Very quickly, I had a client who was asking me if I could have people go through this a workshop and then I could train. They could train other people.
a little more than that.
Right. I think they're just getting exposed to it. I wouldn't want to suggest that at that point. So mm-hmm. maybe not understanding the complexity.
Well, they don't. I mean, this is a double-edged sword that we experience all the time. Oh, yeah, we all tell stories, right? But can you do it really well? And that takes time and practice and education, and it's not just can I tell a story. And what I do is I talk to my prospects, my clients about where the real leverage point is with storytelling, and it's not about telling. I don't even like the word storytelling. Because for me, the real gold, the real leverage point in business storytelling is actually in the story sharing. Well,
mm-hmm.
that's for leadership, that's for marketing, that's for knowledge transfer, that's for any application you could, sales, any application you could possibly think of for storytelling in an organization. And yet story sharing requires learning and practicing different behaviors. You listen to a story differently. You ask questions about a story differently. And you acknowledge people differently around the story that they share. And I use Doug Lipman's model of appreciative storytelling all the time in business because I find it works and it blows people's doors off, right? And they say to me, God, I never realized how much could be understood when somebody is sharing a story. And then we talk, I say, yeah, great, you know, and then we talk about, okay, so now that you know what's possible with story listening, not the storytelling part, the story listening part. What are the implications for that in your work? What are the implications of that in business? You know, when I work with leaders, they say, well, it's not about storytelling. Maybe about 20% of the time, but, you know, 80% of your time, you're going to be story listening, and you better figure out how to do that really well. And then understand what to do with the information that you're receiving. And then how to share the stories of others in your organization. And so these are all, you know, skills that topics, I should say, that I find in the literature some, right, but maybe not necessarily as much as I would like. So I think we as practitioners have some work to do about all of that. What do you guys think?
Hi, it's Jules. I'm the late joiner. I think there's a, with story sharing or telling, as the case may be, mm-hmm. maybe there's some resistance to the fact that if you go back and visit, there's a requirement because you have more information on the person of more intimacy. So I wonder if that's like a natural fear. You know, it's one thing to do the safe story, the things you can do. Maybe there's some challenges. Maybe there's some leaps of courage. But if you come back in again, there's more interest. You know, there's a kind of a need to delve in a little bit more. And are people willing to do that? I was curious when you were talking about telling people that you don't want to be transactional. Did you share a story where you said, like, here's one organization that wants to do it this way, and here's another one, you know? Like, you know, it's almost like the little Russian dolls. There's another, you know, story within the story to say, like, if you do this, here's where you reap the benefits. So I was just curious. Anyway,
right.
So it's been a long week. I'm happy to be on the call. So.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I think we can see this play out all the time in marketing departments and where they're pushing messages, pushing stories to us, and they're just now over the past, you know, couple of years, 2 years, you know, starting
mm-hmm.
to think that, oh, wait, maybe we need to, you know, switch our mindset and actually start listening to our customers. Maybe we should be evoking, you know, stories from our customers. And so that mind shift is taking a while, and it's, you know, some companies are, you know, doing well with that. I think Patagonia is doing well with that. Others are, it's just clunky, right? And they're having a hard time transitioning. Certainly, PR and corporate communications folks desperately need this shift and are
mm-hmm.
having the most difficult time with it,
mm-hmm.
Because their whole training is about messaging, right? We're just pushing stuff out, you know, throughout the organization, and you know, we don't really care about, you know, anything coming back to us. and so, I think there are different places in the organization
mm-hmm.
where it's more accepted and acceptable. Leadership, actually, I find is very receptive to it, you know, there's so much going on these days in the leadership arena around mindfulness
mm-hmm.
and about vulnerability and being open and listening well, that I find leadership is receptive. Now, I will say there's a caveat with that, is that I tend to attract people that I like to work with, right, as we all do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just tend to not find too many of those folks around me these days that are more, you know, maybe what I would say old school. And and if I do stumble across those folks, I mean, I am very clear those aren't my clients. So
you won't be working the political campaigns this year, I take it?
No, but I tell you, in my curation, I have a few articles that I have identified that I want to talk about politics, about overstorying, about some of the ethical, you know, problems that I'm seeing around narrative that's happening, and it feels like it would take me a while to write that piece, and
mm-hmm.
I've tried to find that time, you know, carve it out, you know, but it would be a pretty different kind of a piece for me to write, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
So to go back, Tricia asked the question about where to find stories and applications, and Tom about how has storytelling peaked. So let's dig in here a little bit more to both of those. You know, I'm finding, Tricia, that applications for storytelling abound if you're able to engage with people in a strategic conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because usually they're thinking, oh, I have an immediate need, and of course, as practitioners, we want to solve that immediate need, right? And the applications that we were able to talk about in the Business Storytelling for Dummies book, I think are just sort of the highlights. And I think that once you get into an organization, even just for that first workshop, if you structure the conversations correctly, you'll find plenty of opportunities that they'll come up with and ideas that they'll come up with on their own for different ways that they want to use storytelling. And so that's just kind of my thought
about that. You know, I'm the kind of person that I see, oh, there's always an opportunity for, there are tons of opportunities for storytelling. Mm-hmm. And so I just have my...
Karen, do you have a particular question that you start with them, you know, when you get to that part? Because I agree with you. I know they're, you know, I like the idea of engaging with them in a strategic way, not just for the immediate need. I'm just curious if you have any questions or prompts or anything you use to get them into that, like, that place.
Sure, sure. Well, the kind of conversation that I have with them is, I'll say, okay, yes, this is your immediate need, and this is how, if we do a storytelling workshop, we can solve that immediate need. And then I said, but what's going to happen after the workshop, do you think? And what do you want to be able people be able to do after the workshop? And then they'll say, oh, well, let's say if it's about, this is an internal group and we want to be able to be more influential across the organization. We want to be able to tell our stories about our project much better and with greater impact so that we can build coalitions and gain resources from people outside, you know, in other divisions, in other parts of the company. So that's really great because usually that project has low visibility and it's not getting the kinds of attention and resources that it needs. So, okay, great. We can use storytelling to help you with that. So first of all, it's building the story within the group. So what are you going to share, right? What kinds of stories are important that are going to make a difference, that are actually going to help you be more influential? So we find those stories, and that's what part of the workshop is. And then the other part of the workshop is how do you tell those stories, right? So they get some practice telling those stories. And then the rubber meets the road. So how are you going to tell those stories? When are you going to tell those stories? And what do you need set up for yourself in order to be able to do that? And then I start asking the question, well, if other people knew more about storytelling in the organization, let's say your leadership teams, right? Would they be able to help you better in gaining the resources you need and being more impactful and influential across the organization? Oh, yeah, that would be helpful. All right, so I said, so that seems to be a next piece that you need in terms of support for yourself. And then it could go off into maybe other more details within that own their own group. But then part of my responsibility is to go to not only their senior manager, but maybe even to learning and development and say, hey, you know, we did this great storytelling workshop. These are the issues that were surfaced, right? And this is where additional storytelling work could really help the entire organization move forward in getting the results that it needs. So, you know, that's kind of how I think, right?
Okay,
and
thank you. That was very helpful, Karen.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, and you would say it in your own words, and you would find,
sure,
you know, the opportunities because you'll be seated on the ground, right, and you'll see things. Yeah.
Karen, I wonder if, in relationship to our time, because I want to make sure that we get any other questions out there, I wonder if there's any other questions from the group that are out there related to what Karen's been sharing.
Yeah, please ask, and then also we can tackle your question, Mark, too, which is about the science of storytelling and how to use that. So any other questions, though, about things that we've been talking about?
This is Cora. Are you at the point in your storytelling and business that you don't really have to market yourself because people come to you, or do you still do a marketing to get clients? And how would, and as someone who is not as known as you might be, or are, how would you do that?
That's a good question, Cora. I always market, and I never stop marketing. And you know, there are times when it's kind of cyclical, where man, all of a sudden I've got a whole ton of clients, and other times when it's more quiet. I kind of like the quiet times because then I can get some more writing done and move some other projects forward. And so I've just learned over the years that I just keep marketing myself in, you know, various ways. And so that's that. I think it's just a numbers game, right? You just got to keep talking with so many people in order to get enough prospects in the door to actually, you know, sell contracts. So
are you sending out brochures? Are you sending out, this is Cora again, are you sending out brochures, or are you going to conferences and talking with people? And, I mean, what are some strategies that you use to do that?
Well, I have some particular goals, and one of my goals is to not be a road warrior again. And so I'm happy working here in Southern California and up and down the West Coast. Those are easy plane rides for me. I'm not so interested. I'll do it, but I'm not actively marketing, you know, for the Miami market. And I'm not marketing out in Washington, D.C. So I like staying closer to home, and it's just the kind of lifestyle that I'm looking for right now. And sure, those opportunities will come my way. I speak locally. I do a lot of local networking and with a lot of professional groups, and so that keeps me visible. Now, I'm on social media out the wazoo, right? The story curation actually is a great marketing tool for me. That's how I got the book deal. That's how I've gotten the TED Talk. That's how clients do find me, right? And so that's kind of, you know, a little bit of my strategy. And I think the strategy that would work for you is based on what goals do you have. And,
yeah. I agree, but I mean that helps. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I also totally understand about the road traveler thing.
Right.
So.
Right. So, okay, great. You know, Mark did ask the question, and I do want to answer it, about how I tie the science of storytelling to executives, and you know, how do I take storytelling beyond being just an icebreaker event? And you know what I find over and over and over again, I used to only do this for engineers, and now I do it for everybody. But when I worked with engineers, I always had to share the science, the neuroscience of storytelling with them. First, because they're coming into the workshop and they're going, yeah, you know, okay, I have to be here, and I'm not sure what all this silly storytelling stuff is about, and, you know, just let me go back to coding. And so I come in, and the first thing I do is start talking about the neuroscience of storytelling and sharing with them the what the latest discoveries have been. And then once they kind of get intrigued with that, now I share all that research with them as a series of stories, by the way. So I don't hardly ever use PowerPoints anymore. It really is just an oral experience for all of us. But I share the research as a series of stories. And then once they're into that, and they always get into it, then I model a story for them that we can then debrief. You know, this what's working? Why did this work? You know, what was happening for you when you were listening to the story? what was going on? And so we debrief that, and then I read them, a typical business kind of a document, and then we debrief that, right? And I say, okay, which would you rather listen to? And then they go, oh, yeah, the story, right? And it's usually, and then I put them into a little activity where they get to, share one of their stories. And at that point, I completely lose control of the room, and because they just don't want to stop. They just want to keep, sharing stories. And I'm just delighted, right? That's what should happen. And so for many of these folks, my experience is that they get the science behind it, they get an experience of it, and then they are just, it's like I've turned on a light switch and given them permission to tell stories, and then they just, they just don't stop. They just keep going. And so that's,
how do you get them to, explain? Yeah, I'm sorry, it's Jules. How do you get them, having lived and worked with engineers, they get really geeked out on the technical part, but they seem to neglect the use of verbs and nouns, or maybe adjectives, things that we need translation. Do you talk to them, giving subtitles and stuff? Because they can be a little interesting.
Nope.
Okay.
No, I just rely on their humanity and how they're hardwired for stories.
Good.
And
they are happy when you hear.
Yeah. And then when we debrief the story, it's all about what their experience was. What did they see? What did they hear? What did they feel? What did they taste? And what do you think it meant? And what was going on in your head? And, oh, by the way, this is because people fill in their own details around the story, this is why it's so effective, and we just do a lot of that. The debrief takes a while, and so then by the time they're done with that, and then I read a scientific, article to them.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely fall asleep. I have them raise their hands when they want me to stop. Just a few seconds. It doesn't take any time at all. And then we say, well, why? What was going on? Why didn't you like it?
Aww.
Yeah. And then we talk about the times when it is important to use the research, use that engineering mind, use the acronyms, use all of that other stuff, that language that they've learned so well. But then I tease them, so this is how you show up at work, but we know that we just had this experience of storytelling is a whole brain, whole body experience, so why are you showing up at work with half a brain?
Huh. Okay.
That gets them chuckling.
Mm-hmm. Well, Karen, thank you so much. It's just everything from the storytelling versus story sharing, and the transactional versus strategic use of story, and asking better questions related to the client's needs and ideas of what they want their outcomes. There's a lot of wealth in the conversation we've had today, and I really, for me, I like the whole process you used around modeling the story, debriefing, and going through business document activities, etc. I think that gives us a lot. Any last questions from the group? I want to try to honor your time here, Karen, and not take advantage of you, but I do want to make sure that if there's any last question or anything, that we cover that before we close up.
Oh yeah, please ask away.
This is Tricia. I was going to ask Tom's question. I was waiting for Tom to ask it. But just about storytelling, has it peaked?
Oh, I don't think so. I think that there is some, I'll say it again, I think there is some disenchantment going on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And people are saying, oh, yeah, we tried that here.
Okay.
Right. Here's what I think is going on. I think that we as practitioners haven't stepped up to the plate. I'll just, you know, me included. Right? I think we need to have different orders of conversation with our prospects about when storytelling workshops really work and how that strategy fits in with their strategy. And it's got to be a strategic mindset that happens. We are our own worst enemies, I think, when we get involved in that transactional kind of storytelling, or that, you know, agreeing that, hey, it's not educating, I think, our customers enough that at one storytelling workshop is not going to solve your problems.
Okay.
So I think that there's – and then the other thing is I think we as practitioners need to be well, you know, anybody can call themselves a storyteller these days and offer their work to clients, and I worry about that, right? And it might be interesting to have another conversation about, hey, if you're working as a storyteller in business, what kind of skills do you really need? What kind of skills do you really need to move us away from this kind of disenchantment that is cropping up a little bit with storytelling? So I'll leave that as a question.
Thank you so much for that.
Well, Karen, thank you again so much for your time and your sharing your wisdom. I would encourage everybody who's here today or even listening on the recording to please take the time to check out some of the things we talked about, you know, her book, her website, and glean some of the wisdom that she has put together for everybody to access. So, Karen, thank you again. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. My pleasure. I really enjoyed talking with everybody. So.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to go ahead and end our recording, and then we'll say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.